I'm in charge of the theme song today.
Oh, sing it. Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
Podcast. We're here.
Is that the song?
That's the whole song. That's from Soup to Nuts.
Do one more. One more take.
I'm going to be honest. It took me a minute to get this set up again. We took a break to go to WPPI. I tore down 90% of this with the intention of us recording at WPPI and then trying to get it all set up again. You watched me sweat. You watched me curse under my breath.
I was so scared.
That's a question. We jumped ahead. But it was traumatic a little bit. This is why
it was traumatic for both of us. You know, when your friends are struggling and you have zero ability to help them, that was me in that scenario. I was like, I'll just be here vibing.
I appreciated that. You brought a calm vibe to the show.
I was like a minute and a half away from being like, you know, it'd be great. Snacks. Pad Thai. Yeah. Let's go.
Going anywhere else. We have a special guest on today's podcast, Jose.
Jose, baby. Come on up.
Come on up.
Come say hi to your friends.
Come on up. This is Jose. He is a dog. He is mine and my partner Kelly's dog. He's lovely. And he's been chill. Mostly today, he's just been, you know, hanging out.
Jose's always chill, except for when he's in beans mode.
Yes.
He gets into little beans mode and it's really cute, but it wouldn't be really conducive to great audio, I don't think.
Not great. So you can find us on YouTube if you want to see what Jose looks like and understand what all these jittery sounds are, the shaking and the, you know, hopefully not barking. And then we're on all the podcast platforms that you love to listen to things on. Let's talk about what we did last week, Lindsay. We made some fun promises that didn't come true.
Oh, it's my favorite thing to do, actually. Over-promising and under-delivering. It's actually...
yeah.
As we said last week,
yes,
I've gotten hella comfortable with letting people down.
Absolutely.
Not my clients, but no. Listen, nobody's paying me for this yet. Although, wow, Tim, we did have a really productive week.
We did.
We had an incredible number of really exciting prospects come up to us and be like, hey, we listened to episode one of your podcast. Can we sponsor it? Which is so cute.
Yeah, I love that.
Episode
for us.
One.
Amazing.
If you are a person that wants to sponsor our podcast, like it's actually we're going to be starting what's the Hunger Games of sponsorships soon. Yes. So if you'd like to join into the Hunger Games of sponsorships, we are open to entering your name into. Well, there won't be any death.
No.
I keep on using the Hunger Games and then I forget it gets like really murdery. It gets really dark. Just like it's a fun little competition we're going to start.
Yeah.
But the promise that we made was that we were going to be recording at WPPI.
Yes.
And like, listen, have you been to Las Vegas? Why did we make that promise?
We were there for almost a week, shy of a week. Mm-hmm. And it was, I feel like even though we were there on semi-official terms, I felt like I was working the trade show every day, nonstop. Like my feet were rocked by the end of the week.
We did not stop.
No.
We did not stop.
No.
What would you say you were mostly up to? Because I feel like we were together but separate a lot. Like we woke up so early and we were working until 2 a.m. almost every day.
Yeah.
And I mean working at the center bar, but we were working.
Mostly I think I was assisting Taylor with his video projects, like doing reels, a couple of videos we did with him. And then I helped Magic a lot at the PickTime booth because he was having trouble with audio issues. So I was helping him with that. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was very under the radar. But it was like tech support for friends, you know? Yeah. And then also just meeting... the cavalcade, the hodgepodge number of photographers who I've admired for such a long time was wild.
Yeah.
I met so many people who I'd followed online before like Instagram was a thing, before like when like we go to like articles like The Verge or you go to like StumbleUpon, which is like a fun website finder.
I don't even know what that is.
StumbleUpon.com. I don't think it still exists.
We lived very different lives
pre
2012.
It would bring you like blogs and websites of things that were interesting to you. And one of them was Jeremy Cowart, who our friend Jacob knows. Which is wild to me again, but he was taking photos in 2010 during Haiti, during their climate crisis of when the tsunami hit. And he was like going around this like destroyed village city and taking portraits of people like who are still getting married and like having lives. And it was like,
just wild.
That was wild then. And then to see him in real life and to know all this portrait work from working with Taylor Swift, Sting, he's photographed like thousands of people around the world, let alone like hundreds of celebrities. And then seeing him in real life was like, oh, I could like just, you're real. I can just reach out and touch you.
Touch me.
So
yeah,
that alone was like, it wasn't weird. Like I didn't like, you know, get grabby or anything, but it was neat. It was really neat
Tim
to meet people
Jeremy.
Who I've looked at online and then see in real life and then be in the same room and just chatting with them casually about things.
Somehow we're in the same room.
Yeah.
What did I do?
How did I get here? Yeah.
How am I in this person's suite right now? And
doesn't make sense.
it is. That's the weirdest thing I would say about WPPI.
Yeah. Keep talking. I'm going to check the focus on this camera.
Sure, of course. I think it looks nice to Mo. But I would say that the more times that we go to WPPI, like I've been going pretty consistently. Oh, yeah. She sharpened up.
Yeah, and then, there you go.
Yeah. I've been going pretty consistently since 2013, actually.
Okay.
2013 was the first time that I went. So 11 years now. Wow. I haven't gone every single year for the last 11 years. It was COVID.
Most of the years.
But yeah. I've gone a lot.
Yeah.
And it's wild to see the progression of the different types of experiences that I've had at WPPI, where like some of the years I have like barely gone to the actual conference, yeah, and I've just gone to all the social things.
Yep.
That's usually my vibe.
Yeah.
To now like being involved with some of the brands, and now Taylor has his own company in, yeah, the trade show with Focal. So we spent a lot of time at the Focal booth. And I actually was speaking at WPPI this year, which was really fun.
That was wild. We got some nice photos. We got a couple Instagram style videos of that, but how did that feel?
Yeah, you killed it. You actually like were my number one filmmaker slash photographer in my talk. Yeah, it was great. I was speaking in the WPPI lounge. Imagine sponsored my talk, which was really fun. So I was talking about the powerful prophet. I forget what I called it, man. Like the profit potential, oh, here it's coming to, okay, me, the profit potential of AI editing,
yes,
and essentially how you can maximize your profits by assigning the robots to edit your images instead of yourself. So yeah, anybody that's heard me talk about editing or outsourcing or anything in the past couple of years has certainly heard about Imagine.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about. And it was fun. I really loved it.
Yeah.
But to go back to why we did not record,
mm-hmm,
Tim and I lost our voices on like day two.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just like running and gunning the first couple of days thinking, yeah, oh, like day three, we're going to have Magic, no problem, on, our friend Magic, the wedding, yeah, photographer.
We thought about having Lachlan on from Focal. He'd be a great person to have on the podcast.
He'll also be on. We're just going to have to do it at Canada Photo Summit,
yes,
which is here in our hometown in April.
Yes.
So
we'll be in studio here, which is great.
Yeah.
It's
we'll
a
do a lot less yelling.
Yes.
The hard thing is it's the trade show floor is so chaotic and so loud now. They have got to start putting an actual meter on the decibel ratings,
yeah,
because every single booth now, if you guys were at WPPI, please chime in on this, because I was, this is an ADHD person's nightmare.
Yeah.
When someone is looking me dead in the eye and speaking to me and I can't hear words that are coming out of their mouth because there are so many different sources. Wow. It was my nightmare. So
it was awful.
And then everybody's just yelling, and
yeah,
it was just so much yelling, and we did not want to make you all suffer through our.
I still have a bit
it
of like.
It sounded
that,
like we smoked like a pack of cigarettes.
We still have that like what is it, that Gen Z thing with the
what's it called? Somebody said that I have it all the time, which I'm like, that's just my voice. Doesn't matter.
Message us if you know what it's called. I had it in my head. It's probably going to come to me before,
yeah,
the end of this episode. So yeah, we didn't record anything. That's long story short. At WPPI, we
thought
about
it. That was a long story long.
And yeah, and we're doing it now. So welcome back to the show. If you're new here, we take your questions, concerns, ideas, hot takes on Instagram at the Shoot the Shot Podcast.
Who are you?
Who are you? What do you do? Are
no, you.
Oh, me.
Yeah. It's my friend, Tim.
My name is Timothy Musa. I'm
He's
a photographer,
hosts, yep,
filmmaker based in Ontario, Canada. Who are you?
I'm Lindsay Coulter. I'm his friend. I'm a photographer.
There we go.
Not a filmmaker.
Yep.
Photographer educator. I hang out in the photography space. I do weddings, portraits, families. Those are things I like to do. And we drink an inordinate amount of Red Bull. This is actually Tim's second. I was trying to coax him back into a better headspace by just caffeinating him. He was,
yes,
in a good headspace until all of the
Everything
cameras decided to fall apart.
Everything
so
stopped.
We're going to get right into it. I'm super excited.
Me too.
Last week, we talked about some very sexy things. Literally sexy. and today, I actually have no idea what the questions are, which I'm really excited about. I have not prepared in any way.
Amazing.
Tim prepared us these questions ahead of time from our DMs.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into them.
Let's do it.
Shall we go?
Let's do it. Question numero uno. This comes from Jessica Bowman Photography. She's a local photographer.
Great hair, Jessica.
In the Paris, Ontario region. She asks, how do you get over imposter syndrome? I'm 6+ years into this business and still feel this all the time. Does it ever go away? Jessica, thank you for asking this.
Absolutely.
Wonderful question. I'll chime in initially and immediately saying that I mentioned it before, but being in the same room as other photographers, that was a different kind of imposter syndrome I haven't experienced in a while. Not since like meeting you and Taylor.
Oh, stop.
It's true.
He's pumping my tires.
Meeting you guys sitting in your living room reviewing the
documentary.
The documentary about startups in our region, which is officially how we became work friends and then friends' friends. Sitting in your living room and you're like asking my opinion. I'm like, oh, I don't know. The old man seems like a wizard in the film. Like I was just coming up with nonsense. I remember that vividly. And I felt like viscerally like I don't belong here. And then this past week at WPPI being like a sweet party, being you know, in a room where Taylor was podcasting with Jeremy Cowart, I was just like, oh, I don't, what am I doing here? And like meeting them, shaking their hands and just like seeing them this close.
You had imposter syndrome.
I had imposter syndrome.
Interesting. So you felt like you didn't belong in that room.
I felt like I was undercooked. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is a restaurant menu that I don't belong on. I feel like I'm
that's a Michelin star and like I'm Wendy's.
Took me out of post-it note.
Maybe not like, Wendy's.
Slipped me in as a post-it note into that menu. I'm like, oof. Hope they don't find me. They don't dig.
Did you feel like you could get yourself through it?
Yeah.
I mean, you did focus, your job.
I had to focus on the fact that they are also people. They wake up, put on pants, etc. But I had to remind myself constantly that like, hey, these are just human beings. Hey, these are just human beings. These are just human beings. These are human beings who have done things that are remarkable and I find incredible and have like inspired me to be a quarter of the person I am. So that sounds like not at all, but they inspired me.
A huge chunk of your being came from your inspiration of these people.
Thank you so much. And so I had to keep reminding myself like, oh, don't ask them questions about things that they've fucking heard 1,000 times before.
I don't want to talk about Taylor Swift anymore.
Like
I've been there.
Yeah. Like, Whitney Chamberlain. I asked him about it. We talked about his mustache. I'm like, great. Cause I love asking people questions about things that don't pertain to
their careers.
Careers are like, what do you think happens when we die? Like that's an example of like, you know, when I know someone a bit longer, but like
one of my favorite
questions, go on.
Which stall would you go into in the washroom?
The best question.
Only number one. You only go into the first stall, to be clear, just so everybody knows. Yeah. Second stall is the one everybody thinks they should go into because they think everybody goes into number one.
Yes.
So then everybody goes into number two.
Bingo.
So anyways, that's a
because that's the cleanest likely because people will
avoid number one. Exactly. Anyway, so I would go into number one. But yeah, I like to ask
people. We asked Whitney about his mustache and he told us that he hadn't grown a beard in like only the last 5-10 years.
He was really proud of himself and he had some like really like personal stories to tell about that we shan't be sharing, but I thought it was lovely.
So my advice for being in situations where you feel out of your depth and you want to kind of shake that feeling is ask people personal questions, not about their work, but about themselves so that they get talking about themselves. They'll be more comfortable. You'll be more comfortable. That guard that people have, that kind of waxy seal over their person, when they're just like, I don't know who this person is. I want to keep that. That'll melt a bit and you'll get honest reactions. You'll become a friend, which is lovely. So
I think when it comes to imposter syndrome in the photography community, I'm a major proponent of paying little to no attention to your direct competitors. And that's not to say that you shouldn't find inspiration in photographers that are outside of our sphere. Like, are you going to become a war photographer anytime soon?
Probably not.
But I'm going to follow some war photographers because their artwork and the way that they see light and are able to document things in like wild scenarios, that to me is more interesting than following another person that does something very, very similar to me in our area at the same venues as me. That's the only thing that's going to do is make me think I don't belong here because that person is already here. So why would they need another one of me? The best thing that I can suggest is just like drown out the noise of the same people doing the same thing as you.
Yeah.
To answer your question, I don't think that imposter syndrome goes away. I really wish that it did. I'm like choking on the idea of it. I wish I had better news for you. Like I started doing this in 2012. Tim's been doing it for pretty much the same amount of time.
A little bit less.
And I would say, you know, the imposter syndrome changes.
Yeah.
For me now, I feel this light, like this fire lit under my ass.
Okay.
For the younger generation coming in now.
Interesting.
So for me, it used to be because I started when I was 22.
Yeah.
And my imposter syndrome was, I have no business being here. I'm too young. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I don't understand this gear. If somebody were to ask me my settings, I'd be like, my brain would freak out.
Sure.
I'm absolutely not fussed about that. Somebody asked me about my settings. I'm like, why are we talking about this right now?
Why do you want to know?
Why do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Now my imposter syndrome is like, do I know what's cool and relevant? Mm. Like, I'm not 22 years old.
Yeah.
So then I think, and I'm still working on it, still a work in progress, but I think that the power there is, well, what do I have to offer? Because at 22, what I had to offer was youth and relevance.
Yes.
That's literally it.
Yeah.
I had so much lacking that I didn't even realize was lacking.
In like technical skill or what? Where were you lacking, you think?
What I had was audacity.
Okay.
You know, when I was 22 years old, you didn't know that you were supposed to be insecure.
Yeah.
But no, I was lacking in business acumen. I was lacking in technical skill. I was good at what I was good at, but yeah. I was so focused on just like always getting a little bit better at one thing. Like, okay, right. My composition is pretty good. Now I need to figure out, you know, working in worse lighting conditions. Sure. Now I need to get better at off-camera flash, like really specific technical skills. But then that gets into like, okay, now I've nailed those things. What else can I challenge myself with? But so as long as you're challenging yourself, you're probably always going to feel a little bit of imposter syndrome because you're always putting yourself into new categories of existence, which I think maybe that's the juice of life. Maybe that's the good thing, is that you feel imposter syndrome because you care, and because now you've put yourself into a new category of photographer. Mm-hmm. If you always feel like you're at the top of your game, I was just talking about this with somebody yesterday.
Okay.
You should challenge yourself and find better friends and find more challenging scenarios to put yourself in.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want to be the coolest person in my friend group. I don't want to be the most successful. No. I don't want to be the smartest.
No.
Firmly mid.
Mid is great.
I don't want to be the worst. I don't want people to be like, oh God, this girl's here again. But I would love to be in a circle where I am constantly inspired by the people above me and feeling a little bit insecure around them.
Yeah.
Like a little bit like, ooh.
I think there's a sweet spot too. Like, you don't want to be doing too many things that are adventurous to the point where you're like totally out of your depth and you're drowning a bit trying these new, you know, off-camera flash techniques, or you're posing people in a way that like is so so outside of like what people want as a product when they're clients. And you also don't want to be like too aggressively within the herd of whatever everyone else is doing. There's like a sweet spot, pardon me, Red Bull, that you had that you want to hit in between that kind of thing, which is intangible and impossible to describe. So I'm sorry that we're not able to help more than that. I feel like
it is helpful to know that you're not alone in that, though. Because if you look at these people, like, no doubt, Jeremy Cowart feels imposter syndrome in his circles. Cowart's got somebody above him. Like, who's the guy that photographs Obama? I'd have these people that I'm like, oh, I can't be in the same circle as them. Like, guaranteed there's going to be people that you feel weird about being around.
Jeremy was describing on the podcast with Taylor that he has people flying from around the country and the world for 60-second portraits. They come to his studio. He has lights triggered in a way where they move around in a specific pattern to get different lighting situations.
That's incredible.
I describe 5 or 6 poses. We're done within 30, and I ask him what they wanted to. I'm like, that's amazing. At the end of the podcast, after we're done recording, he's like, yeah, I just feel like I could be doing more and like I could be getting a broader reach. And I said, Jeremy, can I stop you for a second? You just described the fact that people are flying from around the country, America, and the world.
For
60 seconds. He's like, yeah, but I just feel, I'm like, okay. All right. Everyone feels this. So no matter where you are in the ladder of life, of progress in your career, personal life, whatever it is, there's always going to be some kind of rat race bullshit in front of you. So I'm so sorry.
You know, I feel, okay, we're getting really existential and I haven't even dropped any mushrooms right now, but I feel like this is a good and a bad thing. Mm. The more yoga I do, the more I don't care about reaching, the more I don't care about striving. I'm like, here and now is what matters to me. And I love this.
Yeah.
However, my business does not grow in the here and now. It grows in the reaching, in the reaching, in the reaching, which is capitalism in a nutshell.
Baby.
And so I guess, Jessica, to answer your question, do you care about capitalism? And if you don't, then really, I think the imposter syndrome could go away.
Yeah.
If you don't, maybe not even capitalism, but about what's the next tier for you? This has gotten really, we've flown off the deep end so aggressively, but I kind of like it.
To bring it back to like everyday things, every wedding I start before I get into the getting ready location, I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, absolutely. Everywhere.
It doesn't go away.
I think if you're not feeling a little bit nervy, like a little bit like my tummy is uncomfy before a shoot, it means that you don't care enough about it. Yeah. And I stand behind that firmly. Like, totally. I'm not talking like full body chills and freaking out and like nausea.
Because, just a bit of like,
that's not a good feeling. Yeah. And I don't think that's really good for the old brain when you're going into a shoot thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here. Yeah. You're going to start messing things up. You want like just a little bit of stress that just keeps you inspired to be like, hey, during sunset, I'm definitely going to pull them out. And I have a few ideas already lined up or just something that you're going to try that's different or weird or creative in a new way.
Yeah.
Instead of always doing same old thing.
Exactly.
That's not that you're not going to feel that way if you aren't nervous.
Yeah.
Totally. I would say. Personally. So Jessica, I feel for you, the imposter syndrome. I love like some words of affirmation for when you're really in the depths. You know, remind yourself of the bad bitch you are. Who am I? But truly, remind yourself of what you've done. Like, it's part of the reason why in a productivity planner that I share in my online course, I remind people that it's so important to not just track what we want to do and what we have done in a day, what we want to do in a day, but to also track what we did do in a day.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us have a lifelong, never-ending to-do list of these are the tasks I need to get done. It's really, really rare for us to reflect at the end of the day of what we achieved. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's like, today, all I did was like I threw in a load of laundry and I answered 5 emails. Yeah. Well, that's okay.
We had a great call with a client. We booked a couple.
Like, honestly, Slay,
that felt like a full day.
That did feel like a full day, actually.
And this feels like another full day.
But you wouldn't give yourself credit because I didn't get the 3 other tasks on my list done, right? Exactly. That's what would stick out to you. And I think that the better we get at giving ourselves credit for the hard work that we do, the easier it gets to not feel like an imposter in this industry.
Yeah. Great answers.
Good honestly, we are great at
You're
this.
Welcome.
We are just the advice champions of the internet. The Shoot Your Shot podcast is changing lives, I would say for sure. Absolutely. Can I just say, Tim, you are a master at audio quality. I was listening to this in my car, which, wow, I got to tell you how challenging that was for me. But we only improve when we review, and I learned a lot. Fact. And I'm excited to continue improving. But I do have to say, big Slay on the audio quality, hearing it through my car speakers.
Appreciate
it sounded
that.
Better than Dateline. I mean, Dateline has some really high-paid engineers and stuff, and I just – snaked in on all of your talents. So everybody say
thank you so much.
Thank you to Tim.
I know, I appreciate that. That's it's been a long time coming, so it's been a lot of work.
I'm excited. Wait, do we have a break right
now?
We
have a break right now. We're gonna take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back, everybody. Lindsay, we give advice all the time on this podcast.
We sure do.
Where can someone go if they want more detailed advice about their business, how they're doing as a photographer? Is there somewhere they can go more in depth and learn from you?
I made an entire course for you.
Tell me about it.
I made a comprehensive course, over 6.5 hours of videos.
Amazing.
It includes digital downloads, including email templates, pricing guides. I've got like pretty much everything you need. If you were like, I'd like one business now, please. That's this one here. So for $279, Better Than Booked is pretty much the best deal you're going to find, I think, on the internet for photography business education. But not only that, your girl's going to give you $100 off as a listener of Shoot Your Shot using the promo code Shoot Your Shot.
All one word.
Shoot Your Shot. BetterThanBooked.com.
What's that website again?
Oh, it's BetterThanBooked.com. Most photographers fail not because they're not skilled, but because their mindset is wonky. Their mindset is lacking. They are missing the necessary skills to not just exist as a photographer, but to exist as a business owner who wants to thrive financially with a sustainable business.
Right.
Get into limiting beliefs, building habits, productivity, showing up authentically, community and competition. And then we also get into skill sets. Using the promo code
Shoot Your Shot
on www.betterthanbook.com.
Welcome back, everybody. What a great ad. You should buy that service or product. Definitely.
That service or product.
It's my favorite one.
And or both. You should buy them all.
Listen, last question we have was about imposter syndrome. Amazing. Getting out of your depth. This next question we have from a listener, watcher, viewer, sent us a audio note, DM.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is what it's all about, babe.
I'm excited to present this. I've known this guy for a while. He's a very talented photographer in the local area, and he's chill with us using his name, even though it's a bit of a salacious story. So let's get into it.
Oh, wow, bold. Okay, I can't wait.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this story takes place around 2 years ago. Now, I'm mostly a portrait, sometimes editorial, as a street photographer, so that's mostly my wheelhouse. But 2 years ago, a lady reached out, local person from my website, asking if I've ever done boudoir work. And to that I said no, but I've always wanted to try it and give it a shot and see how it goes. So I would love to work with her in case she wanted to try it out with me and, you know, do it for a discounted rate because it was my first time. She agreed. She said yes. We set up a local studio here. We talked about the project, the budget, everything. And she said, great, amazing. This all sounds good. There's just one thing I would like to ask. And I said, oh, what is that? And she said, can my husband come? And I went, oh, does he want to be a part of the shoot? Like, am I taking his portrait or are we doing boudoir with him as well? And she said, no, he just wants to be there and he just wants to watch. And I went, okay. So the shoot day comes, it's a Saturday. We go to the location, beautiful big bay windows, lots of natural light, great fixtures in the room, just perfect place for doing boudoir work. And her husband comes and I meet him and greet him and he just seems like a really nice guy. And as we start to shoot, I hear a crunching noise in the back. And I look over and said husband is just making direct eye contact with me.
Creepy.
Eating chips. Aggressively.
Oh, I love chips.
Eating chips. Super loud, not blinking, just looking at me. And just gave me a thumbs up. And I went, oh, God. Okay. It was the weirdest situation. The entire time, he didn't say anything. He would just look at me and eat chips. Even when I was turned around, I could tell there were eyes searing in the back of my head as this man was just loudly
eating chips. I know that feeling. I feel
like chips. It was the strangest
thing. Somebody just watching you.
Yeah.
The portrait subject, she was fantastic. Session went really well.
She didn't think it was weird. From there.
So we finished the shoot. And I'm really happy with what we got. I think we got some stellar black and white work and some stellar film work even. And she's really happy with how things went too. I can't tell what the husband is thinking because he just looks like a stone-cold psychopath, just blankly looking at both of us. And as I'm packing up and as we're getting out of the studio, she goes, oh, what are you doing later? And
I'm
just going to go back up these photos and maybe take a stab at editing one or two of them, see how things turn out. And she went, oh, okay, would you want to join us for dinner? And I went, oh, yeah, sure.
I love dinner.
And she said, oh my God, it's on us. Like, I would absolutely love to take you out. I went, oh, sure, that's really nice. So, yeah, why not? So we go to a very well local spot known in Uptown Waterloo.
Tell us, right?
I'd love to know the location.
We have some drinks. It's very fancy. And I kind of felt bad because I thought, well, you know, you shouldn't have to take me out for all of this.
Exactly,
like, it was just a
simple
session. You know, this doesn't really need to be required, but it gets weirder from here. So we get some food. We get some appetizers, some drinks. I got a really good Manhattan there. And as the night goes on, I start to notice the husband opens up a little bit. He starts to laugh and smile, and he didn't really look as blank as he did before. And he's chatting with his wife and started asking me a few questions. And I went, oh, maybe this was, you know, kind of strange. It's the first time for her to be doing a boudoir shoot with someone she didn't know. So maybe he was just being protective and a good husband and just making sure that everything was good. Maybe that's why he was there. And the same thing goes with the subject, the wife. She started loosening up a little bit more, laughing, cracking jokes. But then things got a little bit weird because I noticed them starting to do things like play with their glass and, you know, touch my shoulder or like touch my leg or be a little more flirtatious, especially the wife. And I was like, okay, what is going on here? And I'm normally like dumb as bricks when it comes to any of these cues, but
it's
really,
Tim.
Really,
so
really, really obvious at this point that I was getting hit on. And at this point, I'm feeling really weird about the whole thing. I'm like, her husband's right here. She's being super forward. This all feels a little bit weird. And then she looks at me and she goes, oh, well, what are you doing later tonight? And I went, oh, I've got some friends I'm hanging out with. I didn't. Not that I don't have friends, but I didn't have any plans later. I was just going to go back up photos and do some editing maybe.
Needed an out.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she was like, oh, well, I was thinking maybe we could maybe hang out later. And they're both being really weird at this point.
Not weird, right?
And she just looks at me and goes, you know, me and my husband like to have fun. And in the back of my mind, I just went, uh-oh.
Drugs or? Okay, I get it. And immediately
said, oh, I don't want that. Thanks, but no thanks. And then I just politely kind of brushed it aside and said that I had to go and that dinner was lovely and that sort of thing. And then we parted ways from there. So yes, very weird. And then in the following weeks, after I delivered all the photos, she was really happy with it, but she kept prompting like, oh, we should go out and do this or we should go out and do that. And then every single time I just made up something of like, oh, I can't. I booked this engagement shoot that I have to do. We're like, oh, I can't. I have this design project I have to finish up. And then slowly but surely, she stopped messaging me, but it got really weird. The day started completely normal. And then the second that man started eating chips and making direct eye contact with me, it just went downhill from there. So that is my very strange story.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
What a trip. What a journey we just went on with Ryan.
Yeah, so a bit of a longer submission, which we totally welcome. Take
tell
some
us
time.
The story. Tell us the whole how, story. However much time it takes you
Soup
to tell
to
us.
Nuts. The whole thing. It'd be great. That's wild. I've never done boudoir. And I imagine it would rarely end up like that. Have you done boudoir, Lindsay? Is this?
I have.
Done?
I was just looking Ryan up.
Okay.
Yeah, great looking guy. No surprise that his couple wanted
a little bit more.
A little bit more. For the boudoir photographers out there, Tim and I will preface this by saying we're not the boudoir experts at all. So hopefully nothing that we say offends. And if you have some info you'd like to share with us, please feel free. I have done boudoir.
Okay.
I've done a few boudoir marathons. I rent out a studio for the day and then bring in a bunch of people with hair and makeup.
Like sessions basically in a row. Right.
Yeah. So I'll bring like a hair and makeup artist in and it's one thing after the other.
Yeah.
I've also gone to people's homes and shot
them
in their
homes.
That's
a bit more comfortable for people, I think.
It's probably more comfortable for them. Can definitely be a lot more uncomfortable for you because you're literally in someone's room, in the boom boom room. and this is where the magic happens. Yep. And you're like, cool, we're trying to keep this professional. So studio is definitely, I would say, a more comfortable option if you're concerned or if you're a newer photographer and you don't typically do this. Like the studio keeps things like firmly professional and like this is a photo shoot.
It's a third location.
Yes.
Yes.
This isn't your home.
No.
So I'm happy to hear that Ryan didn't just go to this couple's home. That would have been maybe a riskier move. And like also, you know, maybe we are making some assumptions here that that's what they wanted. Maybe they honestly just wanted to,
like
party.
A games night.
Like they just want to play Jenga.
Yeah.
Naked Jenga. Some people just don't know how to make friends. It does certainly sound, Ryan, like these people were trying to pick you up.
Yeah.
And that you got involved in their kink. And I think that it is, I wouldn't say common in the boudoir space, but it's certainly a known risk that if you are not presenting yourself firmly as a professional, that you could end up in a scenario where someone is trying to involve you in their weirdness. I mean, I know photographers that have absolutely cross boundaries and it gives the entire boudoir space a really bad reputation because you end up with those weird photographers that people know as like the, oh, that guy, you know, tries to get women to come to his house for boudoir and we all know what's going to evolve out of that.
Or
right?
When he wants to evolve from that because, you know, he's seen one too many adult
hoping.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, the boudoir space, it can be really empowering for women.
For sure.
Initially, I thought, oh, it's not that crazy that she'd want her husband there. He's her safety net.
That's what I was thinking too initially. I'm like, oh, okay, that's
especially
that's nice.
Because she approached another man to do boudoir photos instead of like one of the many well-known boudoir photographers that are either women or men in the space. But yeah, I think that it's odd that she went for a photographer that's maybe not necessarily already doing this.
Well, she knew it was kind of that was prefaced in the, you know.
She knew him as a photographer, just then said,
I said, do you want to try it?
I like your style. You want to give this a role.
Exactly. So, which can happen often. A lot of times people will hire me for things that are not in my wheelhouse specifically. And it's more of a personal thing. It's definitely discounted because I don't photograph food very often.
That's a great thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to dip your toes in and they get a discount. I get to try something new, still paid work, which is great. So good for you, Ryan, for like, you know, shooting your shot on doing something outside your comfort zone. I'm sorry it was weird. And good for that couple for shooting their shot. I'm not kink shaming, but like, you know, everyone shot their shot.
Yeah. Many shots were shot, one less shot than they would have liked to be shot.
Yeah.
I will say that if you, this is to Ryan and to anyone that wants to get into the boudoir space, the studio is already, obviously, like I mentioned, a really great option.
Yep.
Book a studio out, feel some confidence in that.
Yep.
I personally would not love to have viewers on in a shoot, not of any kind, a family shoot of any sort. I don't love having extra bodies in the room because it detracts from us having any sort of like normal connection.
Exactly.
Then it brings in this third party energy that is going to make it really challenging for you guys to have any sort of connection professionally in whatever capacity you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
And if this man is like munching, I do want to know what kind of chips. I want to know. So I guess it's
kettle. You seem like a kettle couple.
The whole time I was just thinking, what kind of chips?
Yeah.
That's really a critical.
If you're going to leave voicemails like this, so
I need
long,
to know.
We need more details. Go deeper.
I need to know what kind of chips.
Follow up. Please send us a follow up. What kind of chips?
Because if this man's over there with cheesy Doritos and he's got cheesy fingers, versus if he went with a Lay's plain, that's also kind of like a red flag for me. You both went with a plain Lay's with no dip. That's wild. That's truly wild. I'm trying to think salt and vinegar would be an acceptable option.
That'd be fine. Yeah.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. No, truly.
I want to know what kind of chip. The kind of chip that he's munching is going to, but also I hear the chip crunching in my ear. And while you're trying to take like photos, I don't know. I guess it comes down to why someone would want to do boudoir. A lot of the time when I'm hired for it, it is sometimes my clients will come to me and say that it's because they want to do this for their husbands.
A gift
honestly,
for the wedding day. Yeah.
These sessions are for women. They are for themselves. And I love that. And obviously,
that's good.
Knowing that you're making a little book and you're going to have a little sneaky little secret between you and your husband, I love it. I'm here for it. You should do whatever, you know, butters your biscuit.
I was gonna say banana.
I don't know what the saying is there, but
your bread.
Yeah. I think that knowing someone's motivation behind wanting to do a session is really important.
Yeah.
And maybe if we had asked
why is your husband there?
Just wanting it for yourself, like what's inspiring you to want to book a boudoir session now? Maybe she's like, I have been working out like crazy for the past year. I'm on a fitness journey and I really want to document it for myself. I would just want to ask a few more qualifying questions to understand that would help me decide whether or not a husband was allowed in the room or not. And then if a husband's allowed in the room, potentially you want to say, okay, no, that's no problem at all. I want to invite a hair and makeup artist into this equation so that it's not going to end up
a third support person.
I am not saying that you could have ever anticipated this happening.
How could you possibly known that this was going to happen?
How could you have known? And there's also no way. Because you discounted the session, I don't think it's crazy that they would want to have taken you out for dinner. Like I have clients that offer that up frequently. They're like, oh, like that was really kind
Let's
of you.
Let's get a beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to grab a beer? I pretty much am always going to say no. I don't know. It's a hard line. It's a really hard line to cross with clients of like you were just in your undies and now we're going to have drinks. It's a really hard line. I'm not sure how you do it. I am so curious if you still have a relationship with these. Like I know that you've said like you've heard from them. Since,
and they're local.
Yeah. So I am curious.
Ryan, follow up. Let us know. Send us a DM.
We'll to the boudoir photographers. Actually, maybe this would be some learning for Tim and I. What's your weirdest situation that you've gotten yourself into? And like, what do you do in your business moving forward? Because it sounds like Ryan's not terribly interested in doing boudoir moving forward. He's like a great portrait photographer.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily his niche. But for the people who it is their niche, like when a weird thing comes up, presumably you do something to fix it so that doesn't happen again. I would love to know
specifics.
What you do? Like, how do you ensure that this isn't going to keep continuing? Because that would make it really hard. Like, we spoke in the last episode about, you know, if people hit on you at weddings and stuff. Yeah. Honestly, that stuff can get old. It can get really old when you're just trying to do your job and somebody's making passes at you and you're like, honestly, I want to go to bed right now. Like, this is the last 10 hours
on my feet.
It's one thing if this happens once a year, like it's so infrequently, but I would fear that maybe this could happen more often for boudoir photographers than it would for wedding photographers. So
let us know.
Let us know if you're a boudoir photographer, what you're doing to not end up being part of somebody's
weird kink.
Interesting little kinks. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's weird as long as everybody's consenting adults. Absolutely. Bingo. I just think like Ryan wasn't aware he was part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that there are places where you can go to find a third. I'm fairly sure.
Yeah.
Like you could probably go on like Tinder or something, be like, hey, my partner and I are looking for a third. But maybe part of this excitement is the photographer.
It also could be the bait and switch. Ugh. The what if he says no?
That's an ick for me. You know what? It is weird. I think about this often, like how crazy it is that we just meet people in fields.
It's wild.
Oh, you want to meet me? Oh, I'll go to your house.
I feel like it's wilder for you and other female photographers.
Yeah, I have my location on my phone.
Like that's where people get buried. They just have to bring a shovel and then you're right there. That's the crime scene.
Yikes. I don't feel very nervous very often. You know, I literally meet people in their homes for family shoots and stuff. For sure. And although I believe that I know who I'm communicating with, I always like Google people ahead of time. I look them up on LinkedIn. I check to see if we have mutual people in common on social media usually.
Yeah.
I don't always know.
Tell a friend where you're going to. Very important.
Yeah. I don't always know these people. And like, obviously I hope knock on wood that nothing weird ever happens. I did have one shoot last year that I texted Taylor and I said, vibes are off on this one.
Yeah.
Here's my location pin on.
Yeah.
And I made him so nervous because the shoot went on for quite a while.
Oh, no communication.
And I wasn't communicating. And I was in Laurel Creek Conservation Area, which is a really large area and honestly would be a perfect place to
dump a body. Yeah.
So I rolled up to this shoot and I had only communicated with the dad, which is not crazy abnormal, but like abnormal enough.
Yep.
And it was supposed to be a dad, his wife, and their child.
Okay.
And when I rolled up to the parking lot, there was just a man in his car sitting beside me. So I'm like, I'm looking around. Is there anybody else coming? Maybe dad and his wife are coming separately. I get like a little bit of a closer look. And dad has face tattoos. Which is like, just so you know, for our area, we're not very edgy. Not a lot of face tattoos going on. Like, I'm not suggesting that face tattoos immediately mean that you're going to harm me. But Laurel Creek Conservation Area, like probably if somebody said, hey, do you want to do like a really cool edgy urban shoot downtown or like at our cool condo or something?
Hey, come to my tattoo parlor.
A face tattoo would make sense for me. Yeah. But you want to go to like fall foliage, like we're doing fall foliage and you've got face tats.
Bit weird.
It was a little bit weird. So I sent my location over to Taylor. Dad got out of the car. Most lovely human of all time. I
mean, of course.
Truly
of course
the most lovely human of all time. I probably should have sent Taylor a quick message being like, hey, vibes are fine.
Okay.
I didn't do that because oopsie. His wife and child came in a separate car.
Okay.
Just a few minutes later and we had like the greatest shoot and everything was all good. But yeah, there was this concern of like, did I stumble into a situation I should not be in currently?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always good to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And know your own surroundings and share your surroundings with other people. And not get into weird, sexy times with people if you don't want to.
And if you do end up doing that, you feel comfortable sharing, you should message us at the Shoot the Shot podcast on Instagram.
If you do hook up with your clients.
You want
to
let us know. If, Ryan, you decide you want to hook up with this couple and you want to tell us about it later, amazing.
Juicy.
Find out the deets.
There's probably a lot of boudoir photographers that'll be really pissed about this, but definitely unhappy. Tell us. Yeah. Absolutely unhappy, but you should tell us. We won't judge you. At least not publicly. So,
well, a little bit. Lizzie, that's it for us. We're done, dude.
I'm stoked. That's what a great episode.
Cheers, big ears.
Cheers, my guy.
Jose, good job. You didn't bark at all. You were a good boy.
He's just still down here. Jose, come say hi.
Come say hi. Oh, underneath. Under. Nope, head stuck. And he's up.
Here
good
he
job,
is.
Jose. Any thoughts, feelings, concerns? You think it was good? We think it was good, too. We'll have Richard on maybe a future episode, too. That'd be nice. We'll build a pedestal up here. It'll be perfect.
Wow, Jose, thank you so much. Where can everybody find you?
Great.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Amazing. Thank you all so much for being here. We're super excited. Do not forget, shoot your shot. Slide into our DMs. Send us a voice note. Send us a text message.
Send us a DM.
Send us a DM. Send us any.
Smoke signals.
Yeah, we love
send
to hear.
Send us a letter, a postcard, whatever you
we
have.
We want to hear your most unhinged stories. We want to hear your deepest questions that you have. We want to hear your hot takes. We want to hear all of it. Come on in. Let us know.
Water's fun. Cheers, Lizzie. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.